Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near Death Experience Research Foundation. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side. We're going to share the experience of Liz today, and then we will share a couple of listener phone calls and comments. So, here is Liz. Liz says, I had a cervical biopsy because I had a pap cervical smear, which indicated that it was needed. This was done in an obstetrics gynecologist's office. He had delivered my two children. I was fine during the procedure. After I was getting ready to get dressed, the nurse was in the room with me. I began to feel dizzy and told her I felt that I was going to faint. She had me lie down and I fainted. She called the doctor. According to him, there was no pulse when he got there. During the time I was out, I had the most joyful experience of my life. The joy and ecstasy I felt was beyond description. I was with a presence which felt like a male. I felt fully alive. I felt warm and very loved. We were in a loving situation, like a welcome of a very loved one who had been away a long time and had returned. The emotion was much stronger than any I have ever before or since experienced. When the doctor resuscitated me with CPR, I felt as though I had been thrown at a very high speed through space and then hit a solid wall. I was afraid when I woke up, and I didn't know where I was. I thought I was being attacked, and I tried to claw the doctor's face, which was in mine. I felt disoriented for the rest of the day. The doctor told me that the cervix was very sensitive and could trigger the vagal nerve response that I had. I had another experience 10 years later after having had thyroid surgery. The next day I was suffocated to death because my nerve to my vocal cords had been touched during the surgery, and the vocal cords were paralyzed and there was swelling which blocked my airway. I was floating off and looked back at myself on the bed with the doctor there working on me. I thought to myself, I am dying. This can't happen. I feel too peaceful. I can't go yet. I have a small child. They then knocked me out, so I didn't feel any more. They had called my husband at home to come because I was dying, and they felt there was nothing they could do. This has had a very positive effect on my life and spirituality. I also had an experience when I was 3 and having my tonsils pulled out. I can clearly remember watching the surgery being done as though I was up on the ceiling. This was really strange to me after I recovered from it. I remember it well and have talked about it all my life. I've always been very intuitive and a little psychic. I am sensitive to all environments and living things. I know when things are going to happen. On the night of September 10th, I was in the Bolivian Amazon region with my family on a boat trip. We were sitting around a campfire with the captain of the houseboat we were on. I had no alcohol or drugs, which I never have, so my mind was clear. We were enjoying the peace, being all alone in the jungle with no one around for miles. Suddenly, I saw explosive lights in my head, and I felt a strong sense of fear. A voice entered my head and said, "Don't worry, you are all safe here." I told my husband about it when we got back to the boat. I can stand next to a person and tell what profession they are. I have trouble in crowds because of all the energy which affects me now. I tend to seek out nature. I am a normal person. I have 4 children. I majored in dental hygiene and journalism in university. Right now, I'm back in school majoring in psychology because I want to earn a counseling degree in order to do grief and death counseling. My near-death experience did affect my life. I do not fear death, and I know there really is life after death, and it is beautiful. That's the end of Liz's experience. What a beautiful experience, and what a beautiful attitude she has. I mean, many come out of these experiences feeling like, you know, their life has just been ripped to pieces, and they take years to kind of come to terms with what happened, and they, in the meantime, they're depressed, and and they talk about it as being a very difficult time in their life. And perhaps it was. I don't know. She doesn't say. But what she does say is that it's had a very positive effect on her life and her spirituality. And now she's studying to become a counselor so that she can help other people. I just find it interesting, all of this. And I think thought it very much worth sharing. Okay, so let's go to the listener comments and the call that came in. Here's the call. This is DeLon, and then we'll share the comments after.
Hi, Chaz. This is DeLon. Haven't spoke on here for a while. Karen, my wife, and I, we're just sitting here. Let's do a podcast on lazy Sunday afternoon, April the 30th. We really enjoy your podcast, and anyway, a suggestion was brought up, and you wondered about. Someone suggested that maybe if you did a longer podcast, and then just did it maybe, you know, once or twice a week, or if people rather have the short ones or whatever. You know, it really don't matter to me personally. Karen kind of likes the short ones, because sometimes you put her to sleep. Just kidding, but just because you got a dreamy voice. But anyway, I think whatever works for you. You know, if it'll help you to just do it once or twice a week or something, with maybe longer ones, that's great, you know. And just another thing I was thinking about, and I guess we wouldn't really know the answer about it, but it makes you wonder, those that, you know, pass on, of course, if they come back, a lot of them have these life reviews. Well, I'm wondering about those that don't decide to come back, if they have a life review, or if they really need one to help them decide whether to come back or not. Just a thing of interest. I guess we won't know because they don't come back. But anyway, I just want you to know we really enjoy your podcast. All right. Worst time through. Bye-bye.
Well, fabulous. Thank you, DeLon, for your call. And thank you for the comments. That's great. I've been wondering, deciding what to do, whether to shorten to keep doing the shorter podcasts or to do the longer ones. And honestly, the comments that I've been getting from people have been, you know, very much both. So I'm just going to probably do what's working best for me at any given time. And I'm still, you know, welcoming feedback on any from anybody else that whether you like the longer ones and maybe we could do them less often, or maybe we just keep doing the short ones. I've even got some ideas around trading off with other hosts and so forth, maybe having two or three different hosts, you know, take different days of the week or different things like that. We'll see what happens. But any feedback any of you have is great. I like what you said, DeLon, about the life review thing. It's such a curious thing to me because some people go and they have, you know, obviously there's many who have a very short experience where maybe they see a light and they're going through a tunnel and then boom, they're back in their body. Or maybe they're standing over their body and then they're back in their body. And obviously those ones we have to kind of assume that if they were headed for a life review, they never got to that point. But there are many who have really extensive experiences going on and having conversations with God and then walking with Jesus and loved ones and in libraries and homes, and I mean, just incredibly detailed experiences, who don't have life reviews. And then there's other people who that's pretty much all they have. They find themselves in this void, and then this incredible life review takes place, and then boom, they're back in their body. You know, it's like it kind of runs across the gamut, which leaves you to wonder, is this something that everybody experiences? You know, are these people who had these extensive experiences, if they were going to stay, would they have had it at some point later? Or is it only for those who need it? Is it for those who need to see the value of their life, or maybe all the reasons that they need to change their life, or maybe just as a pat on the back? Or, you know, I mean, it's obviously people's experience with the near-death experience, I mean, with the life review, is they take it very differently. Some people come back much more loving for it. Some people come back saying, man, I got to fix my life. Others go back and they say, I saw my life all over again, but I don't know the point. You know, it wasn't like there was any surprises, you know. So you have those too, which kind of makes me think it depends on the individual, I suspect. Now, I personally would love to have one. You know, I kind of, it's with trepidation that I would approach it, like, okay, I'm ready for this, I think, you know, because I know there's stupid things I've done in my life that I regret and so forth. But I would also be so interested to see that ripple effect. I would love to see how my actions, good and bad, affected people further down the line. And I don't know, I'm somebody who's very self-reflective. I love to look back on my life and say, huh, I did this back then. I wonder if I was in this state of mind at that time. You know, why did I do this? Why did I think that way? And I'm very interested in that. Sometimes I'm embarrassed by things that I've done or said or whatever, but I like to be able to take what I see from my memory or reading an account in either a journal or whatever, and be able to say, huh, I never thought of it in this context, because now I see with retrospect these other elements that I didn't anticipate, and it seems, you know, so, you know, some decisions that I made now seem so obviously right, and others seem so obviously stupid that it's like, how could I have not seen that back then? And yet I'm making decisions every day now that are like, is this a stupid decision or a good one? I just don't know. And hopefully in reviewing these things, what was the term that we came up with? I can't remember, the idea of doing your own self-examination, life review of sorts. That can be very insightful. Very insightful, and I enjoy that. So I kind of hope to have one someday. You know, I'm a little afraid that I'm going to go and see, you know, things that I thought were pretty cool that I did are going to be just like, meh. Yeah. And then other things that I did that I thought were no big deal, that, you know, maybe just slightly insensitive or something, turned out to be like life-changingly horrible to somebody. And so I do dread a little bit of that, but at the same time I'm like, oh, but I want to see, I want to know, I want to understand. I'm somebody who's very curious about things and very interested in why things are done as they are. I'm also, you know, I've spent years studying personality profiles and different, you know, I've mentioned that I have ADHD. That was a self-diagnosis before it was a doctor diagnosis. You know, I'm just fascinated by, why do I do what I do? Why do I think the way I think? Why do I feel the way that I feel? And so as that kind of a person, I'm very interested to have a life review. Maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't. But I know there are other people who are like, please, no, no, no. That would be hell to me, you know? And I totally understand that. I totally get that. So it'll be interesting to find that out. Okay, let's go on to some more comments. These are from the, this one is from email, neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. This person, he doesn't say whether he wants me to share his name or not, so I won't, but he says, "Hi there, and thank you for all of your effort on the podcast. You have a unique, unassuming quality of handling the reading and discussion of accounts, so thank you. Fewer but longer podcasts are better because my podcast settings only save up to 5 or so episodes, maybe less, for the reason that I don't have a lot of space on my phone, and I can subscribe to a variety of podcasts to enjoy if I'm doing manual labor. So chances are good that I miss some of the episodes unless I go back and check. I really appreciate your podcast and honest search for understanding. Thank you so much." What a great comment. And that is a great point to make for the smaller podcast. As a podcast listener, I'm constantly downloading podcasts onto my MP3 player. And, you know, so often and so forth that it's always telling me your memory's full. You can't put that on, you know, and so forth. And so I totally get that. And I think that's a good argument for the smaller podcasts as we've been doing lately. So very good, very good. Another one that we have. This is Marty. He says, "I'm curious to know if you've ever heard of two or more people having the exact same near-death experience. I'm a relatively new listener and enjoy the podcast very much. It has broadened my thinking. The possibilities are limitless. Thanks, Marty." Well, thank you, Marty. What a great question. I have looked, since my studying of these things, for two people, you know, because, I mean, statistically, it's not very common for somebody to have a near-death experience. And so, you know, maybe 1 in 10 people who have clinical death have a near-death experience. I that number is, you know, kind of a vague number. It changes all the time, whatever. But I'd say about 1 in 10 average people who have a, clinical death have a memory of a near-death experience. I add that because many people don't remember their near-death experience for years, you know, days, months, years, decades even. So, I mean, just having not remembered anything doesn't mean that it didn't happen. But the point is, you know, obviously if they don't remember having one, it's no good to us anyway. It may be good to them because of the gifts they develop from it, but not knowing where they came from. Anyway, so out of the 1 in 10 people that have them, that have, you know, experienced clinical death, there are some who have experiences that fit the shared death category. And I've read at least a couple where people have had, you know, somebody has a near-death experience, and when they wake up, they're talking to a person and they say, "You were glowing," or maybe, "I saw something, you know, I saw a light in the sky, you know, different than the sun, separate from the sun at the time this happened to you," or different things like that. For example, the one mother who called in talked about the near-death experience of her son, and she was in a car following the ambulance to the hospital, and she could see this bursting light coming out of the back of the ambulance during his experience. Now, in his experience, he was in the ambulance and seeing things going on, and he had an experience with Jesus there in the ambulance. He had more to his experience as well. But that is about the closest I've seen to having the exact same near-death experience. I'm very interested to come across an experience where two people are in a car accident together, both experience clinical death and go to the other side together, and both are revived. I just don't think it's very likely to be common enough to happen very often. If you think about it this way, 1 in 10 people who experience clinical death have near-death experiences. And admittedly, other people do, you know, during dreams or you know, maybe just passing out for a short time, don't experience clinical death, but maybe, you know, something goes wrong during surgery, a few moments of losing them and then they're back, so it's not quite clinical death. You know, they have those as well, but you know, we don't have statistics on those kind of, how many people of those have experienced. But about 1 in 10 who experience clinical death remember a near-death experience, and I don't have a number on hand of how many people who experience clinical death are revived. In fact, let me just do a quick Google search for your benefit. One second. Okay, here we go. I don't know if this number quite matches up with what we see, but about 90% of people who experience an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest die. Now, that doesn't include, obviously, those who are in the hospital. I'm not sure. It looks like it says nearly 45% of out-of-hospital cardiac arrest victims survive when bystander CPR was administered. That was in 2014. So let's just say 10%. You know, we're trying to be honest as researchers, and so we're going to give the smallest percent possible in order to be able to get an idea. You know, basically what we're hoping, the result we're hoping for, is that we'll have more than one person having a near-death experience. So let's take the lowest likeliness of that happening and saying it's either that or better. And we say 10% of people who clinically die are revived. Okay, now that's obviously not going to include all the people who are dying of old age or cancer, and so they're not going to resuscitate them, because that's just not. But so we have 10% of those who experience clinical death are revived. 10% of those, because keep in mind, only those who revive can have had a near-death experience to tell us about. All the others just have a death experience. And so 10% of 10%, so 1% of those who have, I'm losing my numbers here. I've never been a very good math person, but you get what I'm trying to say, is that the chances of two people from the same experience, car accident or, you know, somehow, so that they would see each other in their near-death experience the same things, give or take, and then come back and be able to talk about it, is so slim that it's just not. And then even on top of that, how many of them are going to publicly share their experience? I would throw another 10% of those. So it's maybe 1 in 1,000 that you're likely to come across that. And that's only, you know, it's not 1 in 1,000 near-death experiences that are going to be, you know, shared with another person, but it's about 1 in 1,000 chance that two people dying and coming back. No, that's not right. It'd be about one in, anyway. You do the math from there, because I keep losing it about 3/4 of the way through my little pathetic calculations. But the point is, it's not likely to happen often. However, this is the point that I want to make from this, is that we've got to keep doing this research. We've got to keep letting people know about this research. We got to keep telling people there are places to post this, because I would be surprised if it was possible to gauge the minds of every person on earth and find that there weren't many such experiences. Many times that people have died, gone to the other side with somebody else, and then been revived and been able, both revived and were able to talk about what they saw and experienced on the other side, and it's shared. I have heard of visionary type of experiences where this has happened, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about near-death experiences. And so I suspect it's one of those things that's in the realm of haven't heard of it yet, but keep listening, keep watching for it, because I suspect it's coming. That's exactly where we were at with the shared death experience, where, you know, because I had heard of shared death experiences and near-death experiences separately, and had heard of many of each, but it wasn't until doing this podcast and having the listener call in where I first heard of somebody having a near-death experience and somebody else having a shared death experience in the same situation. It was the first, and now I've heard of at least one other since then, from enderf.org. So, I mean, it's not like these things are not going to show up. It's just that I haven't heard of them yet. And if any of you have heard of them, of somewhere, where two people have died. They both had a near-death experience somehow together so that they can, you know, share notes and say, yeah, I saw that person too. Yeah, we talked to, yeah, we went to this place and then came back. Both were revived. I want to hear that experience. I just think it adds to the validity of it. I hate to use the word validity because, you know, in my mind, these are very valid. I absolutely believe in them. But it adds to the evidential validity of it. So as were veridical experiences, they call them. There were actually all kinds of veridical experiences, people coming back and telling things that they couldn't have known while under, you know, somebody, they may have gone to their sister's house and saw their kids crying on the floor or whatever, and they were able to explain in, you know, ridiculous detail, you know, elements in the room, what people said, what they were doing, and people were just shocked because that's exactly what had happened, and things like that. Those kinds of things are extremely common. However, I have not yet seen, as I've said, where two people had the same experience and come back to tell and share that experience together. But I'm watching for it. I think it's coming. I think it's out there. I just haven't seen it yet. Okay, if you would like to contact the podcast, either to share your own experience, ask a question, or to just make a comment, you can do so by emailing neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the podcast, you can do so by either going to patreon.com/ndecast and becoming an ongoing monthly contributor, or you can purchase the book Life in the Spirit World. And once again, thank you so much, you guys, for listening.